Hey, before we get started with the message tonight, if you're excited about what we just sang, about who God is, could you just give him one more, just an applause, a round of a hand clap, and say, God, I'm excited about who you are. Well, hey, I'm Josh Gilreath. I'm the campus pastor here, and I'm glad to see everybody tonight, and it's the day after Valentine's. So I hope you're not tired of hearing about love stories, because I'm going to share with you tonight about a love story, okay? Matter of fact, I'm going to read one to you. I have a book up here with me, and this is a book that my wife made for me, and she gave it to me on our first year anniversary. And so this love story that I'm going to read to you here is very near and dear to me and important to me, and so I hope I make it through it. And but if you would, just join in with me. I know you can't see the pictures. That's unfortunate. There's a beautiful lady with an ugly guy, so page one, we're starting off. It says, you know how every timeless, larger-than-life story starts with once upon a time? Well, once upon a time, there was a girl named Ashley who lived in a magical kingdom of Lazy L. That was where she grew up. It's a ranch with a farm, and her mom and dad called it Lazy L. It says she loved her Lord, her family, loved to laugh, and loved animals. She would spend hours outside enjoying God's creation. For the most part, she was happy and content, but sometimes she would feel a little lonely and would ask the Lord if there was a handsome prince created just for her. She waited and waited and waited. So we got married when we were 30. It was a long wait. And prayed, too. She even kissed a couple of frogs, horses, that is, but still no prince. All creatures, great and small, and we got a picture here of a couple of donkeys that are on the farm, they watched to see what God had in store. And then one day, November 10th, 2007 to be exact, it happened. Her handsome prince appeared. Now, some people here would probably argue whether he was handsome or not since you're standing here looking at him, but that's still up for debate. The long-awaited handsome prince was named Josh. He was tall, dark, and godly. And when he took her in his arms and prayed with her and answered a million what if questions, Ashley knew that he was where she also always wanted to be. The whole kingdom rejoiced. There were feasts and celebrations, events called showers where people give you presents, and sometimes even yard art. We were thankful for the yard art, by the way, if somebody in here gave it to us. People came from near and far for the rehearsal, and even an uninvited guest. We got our rehearsal was outside, and we had an alligator show up at our rehearsal dinner, which was interesting. And then it says, wise friends and family had blessings and advice to give the night before Ashley and Josh were to marry. And boy, did they listen. They feasted that night on catfish, fries, coleslaw, and sweet tea. You can tell where we're from, Mississippi. Under a white tent with twinkling lights, this group of friends and family celebrated and praised the Lord for a long time into the evening. And then they returned to their respective houses where the prince had left the princess a special wedding gift. Pink Nike running shoes. I thought it was a good gift. She said perfect, so it worked out for me. It says to await the blessed wedding. May 20th, 2007. Don't know if y'all pieced that together. That's November to May. That's pretty quick deal there. The blessed day had finally arrived. Ashley was dressed in all white, surrounded by beautiful maidens that were also her closest friends. Joshua was surrounded by his distinguished and merry men and family too. And the royal families prepared, as the royal families prepared to unite, smiles were on every face. But most importantly, the presence of the Lord was in this place. Everyone took their places. Pastor A.T. read the call to worship from Psalms 24, 7 through 10, as Josh waited for his princess to walk down the aisle. Here comes the bride. And after the I do's were said, the rings were exchanged. The prince leaned down to kiss his princess for the first time. The day was absolutely perfect. At last, it was time to step off into their future together. Is the bride blushing? The bride and the groom's royal carriage had been stolen by rogue villains, Andy Wilson and Justin Pike. If any of you know those guys, they stole our car, and so we didn't have any way to leave. So we were standing there with no place to go. But never to fear, Antoine Randall is here. He had a convertible, and he dropped it off for us, and it says, "And away they rode into a future of happiness, laughter, and more laughter. Oh, yeah, here's the best part. And they lived happily ever after." I read that to you today, first of all, because yesterday was Valentine's Day. Secondly, because there is power in a love story. Everybody likes love stories. That's why we share them. It's why when we meet new couples, we say, "Hey, tell us your story. How did y'all meet?" Particularly married couples. How did y'all meet? How did y'all find each other? How did y'all get to marry? How did y'all end up being married? Tell me what it all looked like. That's why we go to see movies like The Notebook. It's why we love to hear stories just of people falling in love and living in love and what their life looks like after marriage. And especially if it's good, we love hearing about those stories. It's exciting. We want to hear about them. They're powerful. And in Acts chapter 22, which is our L3 reading for today, we get to read a love story. Now, before we read it, it's not the story of man and woman, but it's rather the story between God and man, and specifically the story between God and a man named Paul. So would you follow along with me? We're going to pick up in verse 3 of Acts chapter 22. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to open it up. The words will also be on the screen. There should be a Bible on the seat, under the seat in front of you. But we're going to pick up in chapter 22, starting in verse 3, and we're going to read a love story. It's a love story between God and this man named Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, but ended up having his name converted by God to Paul. It says this: "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of," "Cilicia, blah, blah, blah." That was the correct pronunciation. "But brought up in the city, educated under Gamaliel." Y'all got that? "Strictly according to the law of our fathers, he was being zealous for God, just as you are today." Now, let me just back up and give you the context. Crazy stuff is happening. Paul has been spreading the gospel to the Gentiles, and now he's giving a defense. He's standing before Jews. A riot has occurred. He's standing before Jewish people at the Sanhedrin, and he said they're wanting to kill him. And so he's telling you, he said, "Let me at least tell you my story before you kill me. Let me tell you what I'm doing, where I've been, what I've been doing." So he's giving his story. He's telling his love story between God and Paul and what that resulted in. And so he said, "Look, I can relate to you. I studied under this cat. And I was zealous for God just as you are today. I was persecuted. I persecuted this way to death," meaning he persecuted Christians, "even to the point of death, binding and putting both men and women into prison, as also the high priest and all of the council of the elders can testify. From them, I also received letters to the brethren who started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But this happened. It happened that I was on my way to Damascus, approaching Damascus at about noontime, and a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?'" The song we just sang talked about, "Who are you, Lord?" And it says, "And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do.' But since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all of the Jews lived there, came to me, standing near, and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very time I looked at him, and he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see his righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.' It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying there in the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I was also standing by approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away from the Gentiles. Again, Paul is just in front of a Jewish mob. He's told his love story. His love story. God's between God and between Paul. Now, all love stories have some unique things about them, but all love stories have these three things in common. The first would be that there is always a pursuit. There's always a pursuit. Somebody pursues somebody else. The person who, somebody is an initiator, and they say, I love somebody, and they pursue them, okay? Now, then after the pursuit, there's always a capture. The other person says, you know what? This person is pursuing me, and they love me. And then they say, I'm going to allow myself to be caught by them. I trust them. I want to be with them. And so then they're captured. And then finally, there is the life ever after the capture. What does life look like? And we see these three different things in Paul's story, and there's a lot that we can learn from these three different things. So first, let's look at the pursuit. Again, there's always an initiator in every relationship. In love relationships between man and woman, by design, the initiator should be the man. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but the man is supposed to be the one. It's kind of new times now, and sometimes ladies try to pursue guys, but that's not the way God designed it. He designed the man to pursue the woman, okay? Now, in love relationships between God and man, God is always the initiator. For man doesn't seek after God first. We love him because he first loved us. God is always the initiator. But now, while God is pursuing us, while he is after us, while he is trying to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, sometimes we just don't get it. Sometimes we don't realize that's what he's trying to say, or we may realize it, but we're just really not interested. We see this in relationships all the time, in human relationships. I remember being in college ministry, and there was this couple named, they wasn't a couple at the time, but there was these two people named James and Jasmine. Jasmine being the female and James being the male. And I could tell that James, he had some eyes for Jasmine. You know what I mean? You can just tell. He was always, we would have Bible study, and he always wanted to go sit by Jasmine. You know, anytime I saw Jasmine and James saw Jasmine around, you know, he was always wanting to come over and talk to her and be close to her. And you could tell he was kind of trying to crack jokes with her. And he was pursuing her. He was always flirting with her. You know, he was trying to see what she thought. He was kind of playing the game. And so I decided that I would play Cupid. Being a college pastor at Mississippi State, I thought, you know, I'll step into this situation and see what's going on with this. They both were on my leadership team. And so I thought I kind of had a right to be involved. And so I went up to James, and I said, James, can you confirm this, man? You got eyes for Jasmine, right? You're interested in her, right? And he's like, man, that girl right there is serious. Man, she loves God, and oh, man, I wish she would like me. And he was all googly-eyed and everything, and he didn't know what to do, you know what I mean? And so I said, I got to help this guy out, man. He's about to fold up like a lawn chair. And so I said, James, let me go talk to her, man. I know her real well. I've been knowing her for a long time. Let me just, you know, see what's going on, man. Say, I don't want you to get hurt, man. Let me try to help you out. So I went over to Jasmine, and I said, Jasmine, what do you think about my man, James? And she said the dreaded word, friend. She's like, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've been pursuing somebody as a guy, and you finally get the courage to ask and see what she thinks, and she said, oh, you know, you're a good friend. You feel rejected. So She said, well, he's a good friend. And I said, well, can you not tell that he's been kind of making some passes at you? And she goes, no, I wasn't aware of that. Is that what he's been doing? And I'm like, yeah. He's been making some passes at you, so you need to wake up. And so anyway, I said, you know, what do you think about that? And she's like, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it. You need to talk to him and tell him that we're just friends, and if he's making some passes, he better stop or we won't be friends. I mean, she was solid. She had a strong personality, and so I decided I'd play the God card. And I said, you know, James loves Jesus now, Jasmine. You know, he's a godly man. I don't know what you're looking for. I mean, you might want to pray about this at least. You know, I tell you what I'm going to do, Jasmine. I'm going to step back. I'll let you pray about it. And we'll just see what happens, okay? And she's like, you know, she came back at me and she's like, hey, I'll pray about it. God's in a lot of things, but he ain't in this. Long story short, that couple is married. I got the privilege and honor to do their wedding, and they're currently serving as the FCA directors. They're both on staff for FCA at Southern Mississippi. They've been on staff there for several years now. And I want to tie this story back into what we were reading about Paul, because here's the deal. James was pursuing Jasmine, but at first, Jasmine didn't even realize it. And then when she did realize it, she wasn't down with it. And we also see that in the love story between God and Paul. See, God was pursuing Paul, but Paul either did not recognize it or he was not down with it. As we read the scriptures that we just read, if you look back in verse 3 of chapter 22, we see that God was pursuing Paul through the scriptures. This cat, Gamaliel, y'all know who I'm talking about? He, if you know how to pronounce his name, then you're smarter than me. This cat had trained Paul in the scriptures. So Paul knew this. He knew the written word, but he didn't know the living word. He knew a lot about God from the scriptures. But all of the law, all of the scriptures that Paul had spent his life, it said he was devout and zealous for him. They all point to Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. So God had been trying to pursue him through those words. And later in life, God used that. But God had been pursuing him through the scriptures. And then also God had been pursuing him through people. It said in verse 4 that Paul had persecuted many people, even to the point of death. He put people in prison who was Christians. And then Stephen was one who we have recorded in scriptures that Paul stood by. He watched the coats of the men while they stoned Stephen and put him to death. And God was pursuing Paul through the death of Stephen. Because Stephen was standing in this conviction, in this place of conviction and courage. And he was saying, I love God so much that if I have to die for him to be a witness, I will. And so Paul, as he looked on to this, and then as Stephen uttered his last breath, it was recorded in Acts 70, verse 60, it says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's what Stephen said. Sounds familiar, right? It's what Jesus said when he died on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So see, Jesus in Stephen was speaking up. And it was Jesus' way of pursuing Paul. But Paul either didn't recognize it, or he just really at the time didn't care. He wasn't interested in it. He wasn't down with it, kind of like Jasmine. Paul, God, through this death of Stephen, he was writing Paul this love note. And it may have read something like this, Dear Saul, because his name was Saul at the time. Stephen is so in love with me that he's willing to die for me. I allowed him to die at your feet. People stoned him. And I didn't step in, but that we know from the story that Jesus stood up in heaven. It's the only time we see that he wasn't sitting at the right hand of the Father. He stood up. But he didn't step in. He allowed it to happen. And so maybe he was saying to Paul, I love you. And I want you to see how much, what my love does. It'll take over and captivate somebody, and it'll conquer them so much that they would be willing to give their whole life to me. I gave my whole life for you. Jesus speaking, I gave my whole life for you. And now you've seen Jesus, and I mean now you've seen Stephen, who's not God in flesh, but had God in him, give his life for this testimony, for the fact that I am the Lord, and I am true, and I do love you. So, he was pursuing him. God was pursuing him. Paul didn't. He either just didn't care or he didn't recognize it. But what we find out in love stories is that if a person who loves someone is pursuing them, but that person doesn't either recognize it or they really don't care, usually, if it's meant to be, like with my wife, I'm going to intensify the pursuit. What I'm getting at is I met my wife, our first date. We were set up on a blind date, okay? We went to this place called Amerigo's in Jackson. And my wife, you know, she lived on a farm, and she was kind of backwoods, man. She didn't have a cell phone. So I got lost. I had no way of calling the restaurant. I thought, I got the restaurant's number because, you know, I was kind of Mr. Technology and I could look up the restaurant's number and call. And then I called and I was like, you know, could you tell this my date that I'm going to be just a few minutes late? And they're like, what's she look like? I ain't got a clue. You see a lady sitting there alone, tell her I'll be there in just a minute. And I was like, this thing is starting off really in the tank. I don't know where it's headed. Maybe I just need to turn around. And anyway, we met, and we got to the restaurant. When I saw her, I was really taken back because I'm like, man, she's really beautiful. This is going to be difficult to snag somebody that is this beautiful. Well, we got to talking, and she got to talking about some of her favorite preachers. And there was all these different ways that we were connecting and some of what God had done in her life. And I was telling her some of what God had done in my life. And, I mean, I got really excited, okay? And when we left that night after the blind date and the merry-goes, I went and stayed at a friend's house in Jackson, and I was laying upstairs in their room in the bed, and I thought, I remember praying this prayer. I said, God, if this ain't supposed to be something that I'm supposed to be involved with, then you need to tell me, because I do not want to get hurt, because I'm about to pursue this girl. Unless you tell me not to, I'm about to turn this thing on up. And so he gave me some freedom in that and started easing the tension. And so, again, that was in November. Well, we fast forward a few months over to February. It comes Valentine's Day. All right, and now I'm still kind of wondering, you know, like I say, the way God designed it, a man, he pursues the woman, and eventually the woman will give the man her heart. But, you know, she's not supposed to until due season, until the man is proven to be worthy of a person to receive her heart. And so I decided to turn the intensity up a little bit more. It's Valentine's Day, right? Day of love. So I schemed for a long time saying, well, you know, and when I say scheme, I prayed. I was like, God, give me some creativity. What can I do? I mean, how can I tell her? Come on, show me some kind of way that, I mean, you know, I need to tell her I love her. How can I do that? So here was my scheme. I got a cell phone and for her, which that was a little scary because, I mean, we're not engaged and I'm getting you a cell phone. I got to pay the bill if this doesn't work. I got an extra phone, I guess. So I get this cell phone and you got to sign a contract, right? So I signed the contract and I wrapped the cell phone up. In a gift box, and I gave it to her, and I said, now look, don't open the gift. Wait, you know, I mean, you don't want to open your gift first thing in the morning. I mean, just go on to work, take it to work, and sometime around lunch, you know, open the gift up. But I had programmed this cell phone so that when I would call it, it would ring in a certain way. So I pulled out my phone a little bit there in the morning, and I dialed her number. And so she had the little package sitting on the desk, had no idea what was in it, and this is what played. Maybe. We'll give it another second. Yeah.
I just called to say
that's right.
I love you. I just called to say.
Okay. So she's sitting at work, and this thing's going off saying, I just called to say I love you. And she didn't know it was in the box. She didn't know it was some kind of little stuffed animal that you could program a song into or what. But anyway, she opened it up and found it was a cell phone. So it was a way that I was being able to intensify my pursuit of her to tell her that I loved her. Now, all the guys in the room, you're either thinking, that's a really cool idea, and I'm going to use it, or you're hating me because what you did yesterday for Valentine's really sucked. Well, fast forward another week. That was February 14th. Now it's February 25th, a little bit more than a week. I'd spent some time with God in January saying, God, is this a girl I'm supposed to be with? And then I was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 through 25, and God said to me, that's where he was talking about Adam and Eve, and he pulled a rib out of Adam and made Eve. And God was saying that, Ashley, that's your Eve. And you need to pursue her. You need to turn up the intensity. And so I did at Valentine's. But then I did again, and I said, well, okay, so God, when do I need to ask her? You know, when do I need to ask her to marry me? Because I want you to show her that she's supposed to marry me first, because, I mean, I don't want to get rejected, okay? And so he said, you know, Genesis, after I read the whole passage, it ended at verse 2, Genesis 2:25. So he said, you know, February 25th, do it. And so here's what I'm getting at. On February the 25th, I had a diamond, okay? And I'm coming to say, I love you, and will you marry me? God has shown me that you're my Eve. And so you know, I'm on a knee. And I, what I'm getting at is, as the pursuit intensified, it eventually brought her, the one I was pursuing, to a point of decision. She had a big decision to make. Because if she says yes, it means her last name's changing. It means she's leaving her mother and father. She's leaving old Lazy L and she's coming to Starkville. She's going to live in my house. She's going to have my name. We're going to share bank accounts. I mean, it's going to, you know, it's a big deal. But the pursuit of her brought her to a place that she had to make a decision as that pursuit intensified. And see, that's what we see as God pursues us. We have to choose him. His pursuit of us, it'll continue to intensify, continue to intensify. And then one day, we got to say yes. We can't date God forever. You know, kind of be in and out. You know, I mean, I want God, but I want my other girlfriend too. You know, we can't be like that. Can't be married to two and three different things. It's not a dating relationship. That's not what God's after. He's after a covenant where I come to him and I say, you know what? I hear you, God. You love me. I hear who you are, that you love me so much, and you've been pursuing me, and I want to be captured by your love. So I allow myself to be caught. And the way we allow ourselves to be caught is that the Bible calls it repentance. We just stop running and we turn to him, and then we're caught. We're captured by his love. We feel him pursuing us with his love, and then we stop running and we turn to him, and he captures us. And that's exactly what we see in this testimony, this story that Paul shares. Jesus turned up the intensity. Okay, Jesus showed up. I mean, Jesus done went back to be with heaven, but he showed up in Paul's life. Paul's on the road to Damascus, and bam, bright light comes. Blindness comes. And he hears a voice. And he says, well, who is this? And it was Jesus. And so God, Jesus stepped up, and he said, Paul, this is who I am. I'm real, bro. What was going on in Stephen? That was me and Stephen. I love you, man. And then Paul asked a good question. He said, he called him Lord. But he said, what do I need to do? I mean, something, there needs to be some kind of action take place. I can't do what I've been doing. If you're real and you're Lord and you're who you say you are, I can't keep doing what I was doing because that ain't right. And so he had to repent and he had to turn to God. And then God sent this guy named Ananias to him. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 15 and 16, it says this was Ananias' message to Paul. From the Holy Spirit, he said, for you will be a witness for him to all men who of what you have seen and heard. And then he said to him, arise and be baptized. Why do you delay? Be baptized. And it says, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. He basically, Ananias is saying, you know what? You've met Jesus. It's time to make a decision. Make a decision. Be captured by his love. Be overtaken. Say yes to him. Take on his name. Take on his identity. Take on his resources. It's a good deal. His bank account's a lot bigger than yours. Take on his power. That's what he was bringing Paul to a place to. And Paul did it. And then not only did Paul do it, did he not only say, God, would you forgive me of my sins? But then it was an outward symbol involved. He was baptized. He got out of the water, and he went under and came back up. Why? Because he was saying, I used to be this way. I was being pursued by God. God loved me. And then, man, he overtook me. So I'll be taken over by the water. And old will be gone, and I'll rise up, and I'll be a new man. We're going to have a marriage. I'm going to be united with Christ. And so it's an outward symbol of what happened in my heart just now. I'm ready. Let's get baptized. I want an outward symbol of that. And so he did. And so it kind of relates to this. This is a good way to think about baptism. When you get married, you stand at an altar before God, and you make a decision. You cut covenant with God and the two people. And you say, you know what? I am in. I'm all in. And then when you do, you have a symbol. It's a wedding ring. It's an outward symbol of what took place. And you put it on. And so for a believer in Christ, for somebody who would say, you know what? I've been captured by his love. But after the fact that I was captured, I'd never been baptized, it would be like a bride saying, you know what, I'll get married to you. We can get married, we can do the ceremony, but I ain't never going to wear a wedding ring. I don't want no symbol of it, you know. It's a symbol. It's a way of saying, man, I'm taken. I belong to him. And then the other thing that you notice about, you know, a wedding ring is they say it's circular because it just keeps going on and on. And that's the life ever after part. See, it's not just where God pursues us and then we're captured and overtaken and that's it. We're baptized and that's it. No, the story keeps going on and on and on and on. Now, unfortunately, too many love stories in this world, they're just short-lived. You know, people get excited and they make a commitment and then it dissolves. But that's not the way it should be with marriage, and it's certainly not the way that it should be in our walk and our relationship with God. You know, when you first get married as a couple, I was kind of thinking back, it's Valentine's Day. You know, when you first get married, you always, you're like, I can do anything. We can do anything together. There's nothing that we can't do. You know, it's just like life is full of risk and adventure. I mean, you're not really that concerned about how everything's going to happen. You're just the what, whatever. We're going to do whatever we need to do. We'll go do it, and we'll figure out the how on the way. And, one story that kind of shows that is on our first year anniversary. I remember Ash and I went to this place called Cade's Cove in Gatlinburg. They said they had a 13-mile, I think it's 13 miles, maybe 12, bike route. And then within that bike route, they had some places you could hike for another 4 or 5 miles. Well, we didn't think about, hey, what if the weather's bad? What if it's cold? What if it's hot? What if you don't have any food? What if I just don't have the stamina to ride a bike 12 miles and walk 3 miles up a mountain? We didn't think about any of that. But we were just in love, and we were full of risk and full of adventure. We were ready to do anything. And so we did. We went on the trip, and I'm being honest. We had a great time, but it was full of challenges. But we had so much fun. We made a memory. There came a thunderstorm while we were hiking up the mountain. We got really, really, really high on this 4-mile hike. And as we just about got to the top, lightning started just thunder booming. And when you're up high, it's really, really loud. And we didn't care. Thought, we'll die. Well, we'll die together. We were just fired up and happy. Living a life full of risk and adventure. Got back on our bikes. It's pouring down rain. We're soaking wet. The place is fixing to close. They're fixing to shut the gates. You can't even get out if you don't get gone before a certain time. We just pedaling the bikes as fast as we can. I'm about to wear her off. She got more stamina than me, so she's just keeping on going. I'm like, I'm going to get stuck up in this place with these bears all night. But it was fun. And it was full of risk and adventure, and we just made memory after memory. And that's what it should be like in our walk, in our marriage for sure, but it's also what it should be like in our walk with God. That's what he's called us to. He's called us to a life of adventure, of faith, of risk. And this is what he was calling Paul to, and we see it in this chapter. Jesus showed up as Paul was praying, and he gave him a vision. He said, Paul, you can't stay in Jerusalem, man. You got to take a risk. You got to go to the Gentiles. Now, for Paul, that may not mean much to you, but this is what it meant for Paul. It meant the people that I grew up with, the people that I'm like that like me, I got to leave them and go to the people they don't like and tell them about Jesus. And so there's a good chance that the people that I'm close with and that I like won't like me anymore. Matter of fact, there's a real good chance that they may stone me. They may put me in prison. This could be ugly. But he did it. He did it. He was willing to take the risk. And to be honest with you, I don't even think Paul thought it was a risk. I think he thought, you know what, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to advance the gospel. It's not a risk. It's an opportunity for me to spend time walking with, in a challenge, with the person that I love the most in life, God. We're going on a journey together. Man, he's called me to do something that is crazy. But we're going to get to do it together. We're going to make memory. After memory, after memory. I'd rather take a whole lot of risk and have a whole lot of adventure and have a whole lot of memories, memory after memory after memory, and have a whole lot of regret. And to get to the end of my life and say, you know what, it really just didn't count for much. It really didn't count for much. And so love stories, okay? Love stories are powerful. And I wonder tonight, where are you in your love story with God? Where are you? We've talked tonight a lot about God is pursuing you. Everybody in the room, God, he's pursuing you. He loves you. And so I wonder, does your life, the way you live, does it indicate that you've been captured by his love? Have you allowed him to catch you? Have you allowed him to catch you and then run with you? Or is your life kind of dull? Doesn't look like a lot of risk. Doesn't look like a lot of adventure. Doesn't look like a lot of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Maybe he captured you at some point. Y'all were running hard, but then, now, I just want comfort. I just want comfortable. That's all. I'm content with comfortable. I'm not willing to take any risk. I'm not willing to step out in faith. Or maybe, you know, you just hadn't realized that God loves you. Or maybe you realized it, but you just wasn't interested in allowing him to catch you. You just wanted to keep on really doing your own thing. And so the message tonight would be that God wants to catch you. And he will if you'll just stop running. Just stop running and turn to him. And then tonight, you can be captured by his love and live a life of purpose and adventure and faith. So what do you say? Where are you in this journey? Wherever you are, man, God's here. He'll meet you where you are, and he'll help you take the next step. Let's pray. God, we worship you tonight. Lord, we thank you that you are, that the scriptures say that God is love. And Lord, that you have pursued us when you, from moment go, God, you had a plan to capture us with your love. You chose us before the foundations of the world. And God, you loved us first so that we could first love you. And God, you are a pursuing God that chases people down because you love them. And God, your word says it's your loving kindness that has drawn us or led us to repentance. Led us to saying, I'm going to stop running. I'm going to allow God to capture me. So God, I pray tonight for every person that is in here, Lord, who just, they're uncertain. They're either unaware that you love them and how much you love them, or they've just ignored it. And God, maybe they found themselves a lot like Paul. Feel like they've been kind of struck down with blindness and can't see real clear. Just the different things in life have caused them to be in a place of confusion. I pray, God, that you would speak to them in that confusion and they would speak to you, that they would say, who are you, Lord? And God, that you would show them who you are and that they would be just overtaken tonight, God. And tonight would be, you would lead them to a place, your pursuit, God, of them through your love and your spirit would lead them to a place of decision. God, a place that they would say yes to you. God, I surrender to you. I want to be captured by your love. And then, God, for the people that know you, that have been captured by your love, but the love has faded, has grown a little cold. It's not full of faith, not full of risk, not full of adventure. God, I pray that you would give them just a passion tonight. God, I pray that they would say, I want to run, God, after you. God, I want that back. I want that newness back. I want that freshness back. And I pray that they would just cry out to you. And in a new way, God, they would just see tonight who you really are and how much you love them. And they would just run freely, God, and after you in a life of faith and adventure. So, Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand to your